Pastor John Randall on how to live victoriously in our daily walk.
We have a choice now. We can fight it. We don't have to let sin reign any longer because we're not owned by it or dominated by it because of the work of Christ. Jesus now reigns in me. The power of sin is a dethroned monarch. Used to reign on the throne of my life. But my responsibility through the power of Jesus supplies me the power to overcome. Jesus is now, he reigns here. This is his place. So I follow his lead.
How often have we seen it? Someone says a prayer and walks an aisle, and then walks out of church and goes on to live the way they always have. But as we open Romans chapter 6, we come to realize the believer in Christ is dead to sin and no longer to be controlled by it. We'll not only hear why that's the case, but how the change occurs today on A Daily Walk. We've been making our way through the book of Romans, and in chapter 6, we discover holiness is expected to occur in the life of the Christian. Now, with how that can happen in your life, here's Pastor John.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 2, we're going to get there soon on Sunday mornings, but Paul talked about the people of God, the children of Israel, all being, he said, baptized into Moses. And he was symbolically making the point that when the nation of Israel followed Moses out of Egypt, then they were united and identified with him, participated with him, fused together with Moses, who was receiving his orders from God, and in reality, they were baptized or identified with Moses. And the same is equally true for us when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when we respond to his love and his grace and his lordship, we're identified with Jesus. And one of the ways that symbolizes this identification, I mean, it happens when a person receives Christ, I choose to identify with him, but how it is symbolized is through water baptism. Water baptism is that outward demonstration of the inward work. That's what it is. It is symbolically representing a person who is going under the water, buried with Christ. Old person down there. Okay, come up. All right, and then you start coming up. Bubbles are, you know, then you come up out, and now it's as if you're being raised with Christ. You're new, and now you walk in the newness of life. That is what this represents. By the way, if you've never been baptized and you're a Christian, what are you doing? You need to be baptized, not for salvation, but for identification. And coming up, Easter Sunday, baptism. You want a great day to get baptized, by the way. He arose, you can too. This will be an amazing opportunity to get baptized. So be praying about it. But by using this example for us, Paul was saying, hey, listen, don't you understand that when you come to Christ, that the commitment that you made was never intended to be some one-time emotional decision. This was actually a call to a commitment. You know what it's like? You know what it's like? It's like a marriage. I just did a beautiful wedding. Wow. Bass Lake. Beautiful wedding. Perfect weather. Beautiful couple. It's amazing. I mean, the Lord just touched that day. But what I'm telling you is when that bride walks down and when that groom's standing there and they're standing there and they're making vows, this isn't like an emotional, oh, this is so nice. We're married later. And then he just runs off and like leaves her. What? This is, you just committed to a life together. You are one. You are identified one with another. Folks, that's what I think people don't understand. When you come to Christ, when I walk that aisle and I stand there, I'm saying, this is for real. Maybe I don't understand all the depths of it. I'm just coming with childlike faith, but I'm saying, Lord, my life is yours. I'm in. I'm all in. I'm committed to you, Lord, till death do us part. And then when I die, I'm going to be with you anyway. I mean, this is the commitment that I've made to Christ. And so Paul is saying, this is what it's like. You're identified with Christ in his death, in his burial. Now you have this is beautiful, the newness of life. The newness of life. The newness of life refers to a change of lifestyle. It refers to the newness of the quality of the life in which I live. Did you notice that when you got saved? The difference in the quality of your life? Just the mentality, the heart change, the visual. I mean, just, you're not the same person. Like something has changed. Yes, the Spirit of God is working in your life. There's been a transformation. And it's amazing, isn't it, when people see you and they say, hey, you look different. You do something with your hair. I mean, what you say, why are you, what's going on? No, something else happened. What are you taking? What are you on? I mean, I like, And where do you get it? Oh, you got to know, I'm on Jesus. That's like, I got born again. I got born again. I got saved. And I got, and you're never going to believe what I got. What did you get? What came with it? Peace and joy and love and assurance and hope and heaven. And the list goes on. And you just, something's happened. There's a newness of life. It's like the sky is bluer and the sun that sets is more beautiful and tears come to your eyes. What am I crying for? I never cry. Why am I crying in worship? The song plays and tears are coming. What's your problem? You think, baby? No, there's like this, there's this newness of life, man. You can't even, it's like the Lord just does something. He takes that hardened, crusty, stinky heart and he just melts it and he makes you different. That's what happens, a newness of life. Why should you not live in the oldness of sin any longer? Because of the newness of life. This is a new life in Christ. We're dead to sin because we've identified with Jesus. And Paul said, we're dead to sin because we've been united with Jesus. Verse 5, for if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, we've been identified with Christ, then we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. See, not only are we identified with Jesus, but this is wonderful. We are also, check this out, united with Jesus. The word united, it means grown together. And it's a beautiful word that pictures a branch bound to or grafted, connected to another branch. It reminds me of what Jesus said. You remember in John 15, I am the vine, you are the branches? You're united with Christ. You're identified with him. And he's now the source of your life. This is where you get your strength. This is where it all comes from him. You're united. You've grown together. Why would you want to break off from being grafted in and wither as some people do? Paul said, verse 6, knowing this, that our old man, that speaks of the old person who he used to be, by the way, or old woman for you ladies, before Christ. That old person was crucified with him, with Jesus, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Amen. Amen. Knowing this, knowing what? Knowing and understanding that you're identified with Jesus, that you are united with Jesus, that your old self was crucified with Jesus, we should no longer be slaves of sin. Shall we sin that grace may abound? No, we're no longer slaves of sin. We don't live that life anymore, certainly not. If the Son has set you free, well, you're free indeed. And if you're in Christ tonight, you're no longer in bondage to your sin. The power of that sinful nature has been broken because of the work of Christ. Now, that's not to say we're not capable of sinning, but that we don't have to be ruled by it as we once were, and we now can combat it and actually overcome it. I don't have to give into it, where before, I didn't even think about it. That's just the way that I lived. I didn't care. I just lived a sinful life. But when you get saved, now you're fighting against sin. Now you're aware of it, and you are in the spiritual battle. Now Paul says in verse 8, now, in light of all of that, if or since we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him, knowing that Christ has been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over you. These verses are powerful, folks. So powerful. One of the most wonderful truths, because you've responded to Jesus, identified with Jesus, united with Jesus, walking in the newness of the life of Jesus, no longer slaves to sin, and death no longer has dominion over you. Death no longer has dominion over me. Folks, we don't have to fear death, because if you're in Jesus this evening, Jesus resurrected from the dead, and he promises that we too will rise. Because Jesus lives, we live through him. Thus, Paul writes that Christ died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves. He said in 2 Corinthians 5, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. If you're going to live, live for Christ. Then there is this practical application of his teaching. Again, remember in the context, what was the question? Shall we sin that grace might abound? No, we shouldn't. We absolutely not. Then Paul explained why. These are the reasons. You're no longer a slave. You have a newness of life. You're united and identified with Christ. Why would you do that? He died to free you from sin. Why would you go back to sin that he died to free you from? Makes no sense. Absolutely not. But then another question that would come up, well, how do we live under the grace of God and walk in the life that God has called us to live? Okay, all right, dead to sin, united with Christ, abiding in him. How do I do this? Well, he tells us in verse 11, we need to reckon ourselves to be dead. Oh, this is an important verse right here. Likewise, you also reckon. That sounds like an old Western word. I reckon. No, it means more than that. Also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The word reckon, it's actually an accounting term. That's what it is. It means to add up all the figures, and you come to realize as you add everything up, your salvation, the new life in Christ, multiply that by united with Jesus, plus, also, and don't divide. It's in the add column. Dead to the old habits, the old life, minus those. Now alive to Jesus. Because of all that, you add it all up. Be constantly accounting on the fact that you are dead to the old life. It's all added up. It says it right here. We just went through it. And here's the sum total. I'm identified with Christ. So now that I know that, I know what my position is. I know who I am. Then now I need to reckon it to be so. I need to account it. It's already accounted, but I need to remind myself, reckon the old person. Dead to that. Paul put it this way, Galatians, you know the verse, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, when he said, I have been crucified with Christ, so it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's what it means. I have been, and I need to remind myself, I'm dead to that. That's not a part of my life. And I'll tell you something, dead things love to show up inopportune times. And why is it that dead things look good? Because that's the deceptive nature of sin. And when you see it or it shows up, dead to that, and also dead to that. I mean, you just have to remind yourself of these things. I'm dead to that. Because the devil would say, no, you're very much alive to that. Oh, no, not today, Satan. I am dead to that. I want nothing to do with that because I know where that leads. I've been there, done that, died, lived there. Nope, dead to that. Reckon it to be so, guys. How do I overcome? Just remember who you are. Remember who you are in Christ. Remember, add it up. It's right there. It's yours. The sum total. But following the reckoning of myself to be dead, what do I do next? Resist. Oh, resisting these things. Verse 12, therefore, because you've added it all up, reckoning yourself to be dead, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lusts. Here's a choice that needs to be made. Okay, you know who you are. You know what God's done. You've reckoned it. You know you're dead to that. Now that you've resist it, fight it, turn from it, run from it if necessary. Drive away, hang up the phone, do not, whatever it takes. I'm dead to that. Paul says, because you're dead to it, now fight against it. Fight against the temptation to go back to that with the power that God provides. Guys, great news. Ready for this? The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in us. That's power enough to fight temptation, truly. We have the word of God to combat the lies of the devil. We know what scripture says. Fight it. That's why Paul says, don't let it. And that phrase right there, don't let it reign, it means stop allowing sin to reign in your mortal body. We have a choice now. We can fight it. We don't have to let sin reign any longer because we're not owned by it or dominated by it because of the work of Christ. Jesus now reigns in me. The power of sin is a dethroned monarch. Used to reign on the throne of my life. But my responsibility through the power of Jesus supplies me the power to overcome. Jesus is now, he reigns here. This is his place. So I follow his lead. And he's now in charge. You know, David knew the danger of sin. Do you remember he said in Psalm 19, verse 13, he prayed and he said, Lord, keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and I shall be innocent of great transgression. There is just this dependence on God. There's an awareness that there's enough flesh in every person here to ruin everything good that God's done in our life. If not for the grace of God, we understand we would never make it. But because of the grace of God, I resist it. I fight it. I battle it. I reckon that I am dead to that and that I resist it. The Bible says to resist the devil steadfastly. Maybe you have been under spiritual attack. You know, sometimes people are under spiritual attack, but the interesting thing is sometimes they're the same people that are supplying the devil with ammunition to use on them. I think, why would you do that? For example, imagine if someone, you know, told you in advance, you don't even know, they just tell you, hey, listen, want to let you know we're here at church tonight? I'm going to be robbing your house. Just want to let you know. I got a truck ready. A couple people help me. So if you just want to, oh, really? Oh, that's great. Oh, you're telling me in advance you want to rob me of everything. Yep, that's what we're going to do tonight while you're, don't get nervous now. But, you know, they're going to do, and so what you say is, well, you know what? Here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to help you out. I'm going to give you the combination to the safe. I'm also going to give you, the key to under the mat. I'll point out where everything is. And, you know, in fact, I could even hire some people to come help you. I mean, I'll pay for your gas. Like, what are you doing? Why would you do that? I got a dolly over here. If you don't have one, just use it. A couple blankets to cover the TV. You don't want it to scratch, you know. Like, you're just like, what, are you out of your mind? You just armed the enemy to come in. People do it. People do it. They give the enemy the ammo and they say, use it on me now. When? While I'm in church worshiping. Hit me with it. Why load the gun? Why put it in his hand? Why do that? We just because we don't remember. We're dead to that. We're dead to that. Reckon it to be so. Resist the devil steadfastly. Paul gives instructions and practical insight on how this is accomplished. It's not only resistance, but also, notice verse 13, and do not, okay, check this out, do not, he says a couple times, do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. This word present, very important, very important. It is a word, it's an action word that means to yield. Do not yield. Do not surrender these things over to the adversary. Do not give him a place there. Do not do it. Don't yield. It's an action. It has to do with the will. Literally means to place or set beside or near, and hence to a place at someone's disposal. Do not place yourself at the disposal of the devil. You already know what he wants to do. You already know what he wants to wreck you. It says it in the Bible. He's got one thing he desires to do. Well, a couple. To kill, to rob, and to destroy. That covers it. Just wants to wreck everything. You know that in advance. I know it. And this word pictures giving something over to another and relinquishing your grip and not letting go only to take it back. In the present verse, Paul is saying, stop placing yourselves at the disposal of sin. Instead, present or yield yourself to God as alive from the dead. Don't yield yourself to this, because that'll ruin you. But if you yield yourself to the Lord, that'll bless you. This will bring defeat. This will bring victory. You are dead to that. Resist it, and then present yourself to the Lord. And you will find the ability to fight it, to overcome it. But if you start thinking about it, wow, man, we had a good thing going, you know. It's really sweet, you know. And she was so kind, and I was miserable most of the time. But, you know, I'd rather be miserable than alone. And then you start, what are you, crazy? And you start going down that, don't do it. You're dead to it. Reckon it to be so. Another translation says, stop putting your members at the disposal of the sinful nature as weapons of unrighteousness, but by a once for all act and at once put yourselves at the disposal of God as those who are actively alive out from among the dead, and put your members as weapons of righteousness at the disposal of God. I like that. put your, I want to be a weapon, in a spiritual sense, in the hands of the Lord to use to fight against the kingdom of darkness, to rescue people from the fires of hell. I want to present myself in that way. I want to be used by the Lord, and so do you, to rescue people, present ourselves that way so that we can be used by God, as opposed to presenting ourselves to the adversary. Oh, Galatians 5:16 says it this way. We're almost through. It says this. Paul said, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. Allow the Spirit of God to work through you, in and through you. As a child of God, I reckon the old life is now dead. I now can refuse to allow sin to rule me, and I can present all that I am in absolute abandonment to God for his purpose and for his glory. I'm sanctified, I'm set apart, and now I have this opportunity, this ability to live for Christ, for his purposes, for his glory, where before I was a prisoner, as we sang tonight, I was a slave, I was in bondage, and yet Jesus delivered me. Listen, let me ask you something as we wrap up tonight. Are you struggling with some besetting sin? Have you forgotten? Do you think that you can sin so grace can abound? No, no, no. Grace enables you not to go back to sin. Are you yielding your members to this thing, that whatever it is? That's why you're falling into it. You've forgotten that you're dead to that. You haven't reckoned it. You haven't looked at the sum total once again. Have you reckoned the old person to be dead? How about this? Are you making provision to sin? The Bible says in Romans, make no provision for the flesh. You know, we know we're dead to it, but why are we still making provision for it? Like, if I'm making provision for it, it's probably going to be provided for, and it's probably, I'm going to stumble into it. Don't make any provision for it. Don't do it.
Dead or alive? That's the title we've given Pastor John Randall's message here on A Daily Walk. It's part of a study in Romans. You can hear it again at adailywalk.org or download our church app so you can listen through your mobile device. Just search for Calvary South OC. If you'd rather have a CD copy sent your way, that is available for a cost of $5. We're here to help you at 877-242-0828. That's 877-242-0828. Did you know we have a couple of podcasts? The first features just what you hear on A Daily Walk, but Pastor John also has another one called Spread the Word. In it, he relates his thoughts on current events through the lens of the Bible and spreads the word about Jesus. You can check both of those out wherever you get your podcasts. You know, when a listener takes the time to call or write, it really blesses us more than words can tell. And yes, Pastor John does read your emails and your letters. The Lord deserves all the credit for anything good that comes from and through this ministry. And it's an opportunity to praise and thank him for what he's doing. Share a praise report or a prayer request at adailywalk@gmail.com. Our featured resource right now is Haley's Bible Handbook. Rather than a commentary on the Bible, think of this more along the lines of a description of how the Bible's books and themes all fit together. It's easy to understand and a helpful tool for mining the treasures contained in God's Word. Order it online at adailywalk.org or call us at 877-242-0828. If you believe in what we're doing here at A Daily Walk and would like to get behind us, we would very much appreciate your prayers and financial support. While there are substantial costs of being on the radio and the internet, God has proven to be faithful to provide where he's guided us. To make a donation today, drop by adailywalk.org or again, call 877-242-0828. And here's what's coming up tomorrow on A Daily Walk.
Next time when we come together, having answered this one side of the misunderstanding of God's grace, Paul will be faced with, another question, another misconception concerning God's grace that would need to be answered. And we will answer that next time. But I want to say to you in conclusion that if you find yourself maybe just kind of wandering back into that, remember who you are, remember what Christ has done, and just repent. I mean, turn. Change of mind, change of heart. Turn from it. Turn from it tonight. The Bible says that following repentance comes times of refreshing from the Lord. You don't have to fight this on your own. You don't have to do it by yourself. God never intended for us. We can. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit to empower us. So if you've been struggling or you've tripped up, listen, friend, do yourself a favor tonight. Repent and say, Lord, forgive me. I reckon myself dead to those things. I'm done with that. And maybe there's some things that you may have to deal with when you go home. Maybe there's some things that need to go out that you brought back in. Or I don't know. I trust the Holy Spirit working here tonight through the Word of God. But know that you're loved. He doesn't condemn you. But he's not going to leave you the way that you are either. He doesn't leave us the way that he'll work in us. And it's ours just to yield to that. So let's yield to the Lord tonight. He loves us. He's committed to us. Let's walk in the newness of life. Amen.
We are not to indulge in sin continuously. That is clear from today's passage in Romans. But how about indulging in sin occasionally? Is that okay? We'll focus on that tomorrow on A Daily Walk as our study in Romans continues. This is a presentation of Calvary South OC.